This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
Different Strokes Shoe Swap.
Like this. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way.
Hey, Dave. These high heels are so hard to walk in. I don't want to swap shoes anymore.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. I don't often get very passionate about things, Dave. Like, I'm kind of known for being a bit, you know, hard to read in terms of my emotional ebbs and flows, if you will. But when you started talking about Britpop...
In the fashion that I was talking about Britpop...
I did get outraged. And so I am somewhat... I am fearful, and we have been fearful about doing this shoe swap for that reason, that it might end in an argument.
Or it might end in someone offending Britpop and then all these people, you know, messaging in and saying, oh, Dave, that's not what Britpop's about, you know. What are you talking about? Go back and listen to the Spice Girls.
And I'm going to admit up front, I'm not particularly well-versed in the concept of Britpop in its actual form. But the fact that you were talking about Britpop, I was like, what? So it confused me.
Okay, well, I did some research.
Yes.
I did the shoe swap thing, mm-hmm. walked a day in, you know, saw it from your perspective, Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, it's actually a whole goddamn genre. Who would have thought?
It's the first thing that comes up when you hit Google.
Well, you know, some people live under a very big rock that only listens to Sugar Babes and obviously not Blur Song 2.
Well, I've had many arguments around around Joy in the last week or so when I've been talking about it.
About what?
About Britpop.
And so I am not alone.
You are actually not alone. I've had many people say, oh, you know, what Britpop, that's not an actual name of something. I was like, yes.
That's an actual genre.
It's an actual genre.
It's an actual genre that of alternative rock, might I add, that originated in the UK round about the early 90s. Some people pinpoint it down to the year 1992. In fact, a particular journalist said it actually started with two songs, a track by Blur called Pop Scene and Suede's The Drowners. I kind of read that and I thought, okay, that's rather specific. You know, you've just pointed out the very two hit singles that spawned a whole genre. It's a lot of responsibility for those two songs. So I take that with a pinch of salt.
Surely the Spice Girls do that for your version of Britpop.
I mean, you know, when the Spice Girls came around, it was more like it was a resurgence of pop.
Okay.
You know, the British pop that I am interested in, you know, there isn't a particular sound.
Mm-hmm.
Pop music's really hard to define, but this is a whole genre. It's a subgenre of rock. Mm-hmm. It's actually called Britpop. And I find it very interesting that it was sort of spawned as a movement against grunge music
mm-hmm.
because to me, I always thought Britpop was sort of like grunge music. They sort of worked on a parallel level.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Based on my research and what I know about Britpop now, it actually happened round about when Nirvana was starting to get big in the UK. Grunge music was taking off over there. And Britpop was actually developed as sort of a counter, mm-hmm. As a counterpart towards grunge music. So it's said to be a bit more youthful, a bit livelier,
mm-hmm.
not as heavy, so to speak.
Not as angsty and...
You know... I wanted to look at the contribution of Britpop as a genre to British culture itself.
Yep.
Because to me, it seems like a very dated thing. You know, a lot of people say Britpop is dead now. You know, as a genre, it doesn't exist anymore. So I'm just like, well, what is it?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, as a genre, I feel like it is, you know, I feel like it is something that is, has a particular time limit on it, because a lot of people associate Britpop, the genre, with groups like Suede, Blur, Oasis. And as we know, Oasis has, you know, announced that they're splitting up. Or
oh, yeah, it was just this week. I mean, they've broken up about 400 or 500 times. It's nothing new.
What's with the news and announcement? Yeah. I don't get that.
I mean, I guess, like, with Noel and Liam, they're always fighting. So I guess it's not really a big... I wasn't particularly
shocked.
You weren't surprised. Are they still together? Who knows? Like, you know, who knew that they were still together?
Yeah, it's not like Destiny's Child, is it? They might reform and all that. It's not like that with them. So I looked at the contribution of Britpop as a genre to British culture itself. It was so interesting that in the 90s, when this whole movement was starting about... It was more than just a genre. It mm-hmm. was more than just a genre. It's said to have actually spawned a whole sort of, you know, cultural movement with men, with British men, creating this thing called lad culture.
Yes.
I always thought lad culture's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Not entirely sure if Britpop itself should be attributed as being this, you know.
I think it's more of a celebration of that kind of thing, though, isn't it?
But what is lad culture to you, Jade? I mean...
I don't know. I think of lad culture as being, like, really kind of male, like, going out, being, you know, really hyper, you know, boysy.
Boysy and, like, not clubbing, but just listening to rock music.
Yeah, talking about chicks and...
Yeah, catchy rock music, maybe downing a couple of beers, you know. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad we're on the
same
page.
Hanging out in a pub, maybe.
Hanging out in a pub. And I'm glad that, you know, in my research of Britpop and all that, I've come across something that I can actually really hold on to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love magazines. I want to get into magazine publishing. Yes. And lo and behold, who knew? In the Britpop movement, in the Britpop era, spawned a magazine called Loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it actually all came about from this particular era in time. I find it so fascinating that a lot of people say Britpop's now dead, you know, but this magazine's still going.
Well, I'm sure that it's got some new life. Yeah,
it's evolved. And I find it interesting that a publication can evolve and, you know, change from what it originally started off as.
So is it still calling itself a Britpop magazine or not?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, it says it calls itself the original Lads Mag.
Okay, so it's focused on that kind of...
The
I'm sure
culture.
I think there'd be bands that would be... I mean, the Streets come to mind that would be in that kind of... That lad you culture. Could say lad.
But about. They would not be called Britpop, though, the Streets. They're more what, hip-hop, pop?
Yeah, I mean...
Spoken word rap.
Yeah,
you know, the genres change, call it what you will, but the culture is still there.
Yeah.
So I find it very, very interesting that music has that, you know, movement with society. I absolutely love that.
Mm-hmm.
What I was really, this is what I thought was really funny, because I love controversy in pop music. I love it when the tabloids set up bands or pop stars, you know, chart showdowns. I love it. So I always thought, do rock bands do this?
Yes.
Are there feuds like that? You know, in the hip hop community, it's pretty big. They do diss tracks, you know.
Isn't this the Jay-Z thing?
The Jay-Z versus God knows what other rapper.
Yeah.
In the pop world, we have Posh Spice versus Sophie Ellis Bextor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was huge, girl. That was huge. See, that's one of those British pop feuds that, you know, will go down in history as absolute fluff and no big deal.
Was there any Spice Girls versus All Saints or anything?
Oh, yeah, Spice Girls versus All Saints. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I look at Britpop and there is what? Blur versus Oasis?
Yes.
I'm just like, I obviously didn't realize this was happening.
When we were talking about, I was talking to some colleagues at my workplace about the battle of Britpops during the week. And, you know, the general sense of agreement about the actual battle of Britpop was that the songs that were chosen for Blur and Oasis's actual battle of Britpop was not actually their best single either. You know, it wasn't...
Was it a chart showdown or was it just...
It was a chart showdown. But don't you find that... Do you find that in your kind of showdowns that it's, like, not necessarily the best song that they've ever had?
Yeah, well, you look at... The Spice Girl versus All Saints thing was pretty much ongoing as far as I remember.
Yeah.
It wasn't tied down to a particular release, which sometimes I think record companies dream up just to create publicity for their artists, you know. But the Posh versus Sophie Ellis-Bextor, Posh versus Kylie, it seemed like Posh was picking fights with everyone when her solo single came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, that was very much tied down to a particular song, and we all know Victoria Beckham cannot compete on the charts with those two. I mean, this was Kylie Minogue, Can Get You Out of My Head, versus Victoria Beckham, Not Such an Innocent Girl.
What is that song?
Nobody's heard of that Posh song, have they?
No.
Nah, but everybody knows Can Get You Out of My Head.
I don't listen to any pop music and I know that song.
Exactly. So in that example, yes, it's very clear that, Kylie is going to win.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting because all the tabloids, they ran that story. And I'm just like, who dreamed this up? So I'm just like, who dreamed this up between Blur and Oasis? You know, in the case of the pop stars, the British pop stars, you know, they never even said two words to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was completely fabricated by the press. But I believe that was genuine rivalry or, you know, maybe some disses thrown between Blur and Oasis.
Yes, there was a genuine rivalry and a back and forth.
But didn't they start off being nice to each other first?
I'm sure they did, but then there was always this kind of back and forth stuff going on. And I don't know if it was like hyper, you know, it was really hyped up by the media or whether it was an actual thing.
Whether it was genuine. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about that either.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, though, nonetheless, that they said the decline of Britpop.
Yes.
This subgenre of rock that, you know, you so love.
Mm-hmm.
The decline of it happened, said about around about 1997.
Mm-hmm.
1997 to me is a very important era of British pop music.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the Spice Girls came around.
Yes.
Changed the world.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
It was all about girl power, not boy power.
All about girl power. So I am starting to see a little bit of a connection between your Britpop and what I love in British pop.
Yes. Well, because, you know, the whole thing about Britpop was about, you know, being proud to be British and all of that kind of stuff. And then when I was, and reading about these two kind of genres, it's like, okay, well, you know, Jerry, the Ginger Spice or whatever her name was, she, remember how she wore that
Union Jack? Yes.
And there was all this Union Jack stuff about Britpop as well. Mm. So it's like, you know, it was like they were almost trying to...
The spirit lives on.
Yeah.
But it's always interesting because when you look back at Spice Girl documentaries, they were saying when we first started out, there were no girls on the charts. We were always told boys sell records, boys sell concerts. You know, there weren't really any girl groups out there in the UK especially. So, and that was how they made their way in. So, who knew?
Yes.
Who knew? Do you think there could be a resurgence in Britpop though, Jade?
No. I'm sure that, like Blur, for example, Damon Albarn, who's...
See, this is what I don't get.
Yes.
Why is it tied to particular bands? Genres have carried on.
I think maybe they'll have a resurgent, but the bands have all moved on to different genres. They've all experimented on different bands. Like Damon Albarn from Blur went on to be in the Gorillaz and The Good, The Bad and The Queen and all of that kind of stuff. So... I don't know that there would be, I don't know, I guess shoegazing kind of has had a resurgence in recent
times. What is shoegazing? I didn't even know that was a genre in music.
Shoegazing.
Shoegazing.
Shoegazing is kind of like, it's really guitar heavy.
Sounds like awkward people's music. I'm just going to gaze at my shoe,
like, you know,
and listen
distortion
to my iPod.
Distortion, and it's like a wall of sound effectively. So, and there's like, you know, it's not really... there's subdued vocals and all that kind of stuff.
So there's a whole genre called shoegazing. Yes, I am learning a lot about alternative music tonight.
Yeah. Joy 94.9. Different Strokes Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.